Welcome
to Monsters, a true crime podcast.
Yes, so we have a little bit of a news to get to first.
First and foremost, thank you, Jennifer Snapp, our first patron.
I know. She is so great. She's the best.
We're grateful.
We're very grateful for Jennifer Snapp.
Mainly because the first month goes to CFF, Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
The first month of Patreon is going to the CFF Foundation, as we said, and that is going to run to until April 1st.
So as long as you become a patron by April 1st, all of your donations will go to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, which is a nice thing.
It is really a nice thing.
I'm donating as well.
Are you though?
Yeah, I want to match. I want to match whatever.
We should match the contributions.
I'm going to. I thought about this already.
And
if it's not a high number of patron, then I'll go more anyway.
Yeah, it's a good cause. The Cystic Fibrosis Foundation is always doing great things with their donations, and we're always looking for a cure for CFF. And the only reason I know that is because I work there. I'm a research associate there, so I know the funds are getting put to good use. And aside from that, we're going to be covering exclusive content on Patreon as well.
Right. If you become a patron, you can request an episode specifically.
Yeah. And Jennifer Snapp, she requested Robert Bardella. So that's going to be the first case that we're going to be covering on Patreon. And he is a sicko to start and end the conversation with.
That's always a good time.
Yeah, that's always a good time.
So thank you again, Jennifer.
It's actually very funny because I was DMing her on Instagram at Monsters True Crime. And I was telling her that he was actually going to be the first case that I was going to cover on the pod. But then I went with the Toy Box Killer instead.
Steph likes the sickos.
Yeah, like those cases are like
her favorites.
My core. But yeah, so if you want to hear about Robert Bardella, tune in on Patreon, and we have two levels on Patreon, Scary Monsters, and we have our Monster Baddies, which are the $3, I think, the Patreon, where you get a shout out in the community on Patreon or whatever.
So to wrap it all up, it's going for a good cause.
It's all going to a good cause.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate y'all for listening regardless.
If you want a free way to support the podcast, you are always welcome to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts and Monsters, a true crime podcast. We appreciate a 5-star review, but you can leave any review as long as you leave us a commentary so we can work on it.
Yep. Don't mind that 2-star review.
We are still very sour about that.
Still looking for some answers.
We haven't gotten any answers. But anyways,
today's episode,
we are going to be talking about the disappearance about Amy Lynn Bradley.
The title of the episode, Amy Lynn Bradley.
Everybody knows, obviously, because they clicked on it. But you don't know anything about it.
This is me finding out about it for the first time.
Yeah.
True crime newbie.
I decided to go with another story, aside from the Bonnie and Clyde episode last week, that wasn't all about rape and murder.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
I feel like everyone needed a little break, especially us.
Yeah. How did you like the Bonnie and Clyde story?
You should let us know on Instagram, but the Instagram post about the Bonnie and Clyde episode did very well, so I think people really liked it.
How did you like it?
Yeah, you should let us know.
How did you, Steph?
Me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I think that episode was my favorite one.
Oh, no way.
I told you it was my favorite one. I don't know why.
Yeah, I love that case.
But if you love that episode, you should leave a little water gun on that episode comment on our Instagram, a Monsters True Crime.
Right. And you get a follow back or some shit if you're
I follow that deep. Every single person that follows us back.
You are good.
For the most part.
You are good.
And also a little congratulations to us because we made it to 600 supporters on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
We're working on a little giveaway, but we're still working on that.
Yes. And the sweatshirts that we just posted, thank you again to Murder Mittens for making them.
Murder Mittens did that for us, and I decided to surprise Ryan with some Monsters merch for just me and him.
I love my hoodie. It's awesome. Check the Instagram post. Check out the hoodie. If you want a hoodie, maybe we can.
We can work something with Mertmans in Florida, and just let us know. Leave us a little heart on that picture, and we will see what we can do. Yeah, we can support a local business in the country. She's in Florida, and we'll see what we can do.
Trying to be a nice, wholesome podcast here for you. All right?
We definitely are. We are your mom and pop podcast.
I'm an annoyed monster today.
Oh, my God. Why?
You know, it's just the red light's on, and I haven't heard about murders in a week.
You really haven't. You told us a story last week. But I am going to fulfill that hole in your life today.
I'm starting to get addicted to this stuff, so.
Yeah, that's what happens with true crimers. But this week, we're going to be covering Amy Lynn Bradley. And her disappearance is so sad.
Amy Lynn Spears, Britney Spears' little sister.
No, her name is Jamie. It's not Amy.
That's embarrassing.
I know. Just how I thought, like, that lady from that episode was fucking... Who was she? Never mind. Anyways, but this week we're going to be talking about Amy Lynn Bradley, as you saw in the title of this episode. And we decided to go with this case because we didn't want to just, like, be talking about rape and murder, like, week after week. But we are next week, so stay tuned. I'm going to be covering the Chicago Ripper Crew. And Ryan doesn't know. He's not going to look it up, but...
The Chicago River Crew?
Not river. Ripper.
Ripper.
I apologize. I've had, a glass or two of wine already, but... The Chicago Ripper Crew.
Nice.
Yeah, they're fucking gross, but we'll be talking about them next week, so stay tuned. But this week, we're going to be talking about Amy Lynn Spears. Bradley. Amy.
So we had to take a break to laugh, but this case about Amy Lynn Bradley.
There's nothing to laugh about this case.
There's nothing to laugh about.
Aside from the misconception that was calling her Jamie Lynn Spears, just because you said it. But anyways.
The case is starting now.
Now. I picked this case because specifically you mentioned that you wanted to take a cruise at some point in your life.
Would love to.
Soon.
Not during Corona.
No, obviously not during Corona until we all get vaccinated, but... I thought that this case might be interesting for you and that you would never leave my side if we ever did go on a cruise.
Ooh, spooky foreshadowing.
It's very spooky. And also not just like if you're going with your loved one, but anybody going with a family member on a cruise ship and your little sister, your cousin, even anybody. You just need to keep a close eye on them.
Watch over your family.
Okay. All of these cases begin with a big ugh.
Viewer discretion. Listener discretion advised.
Yes. But today we're going to be talking about Amy Lynn Bradley.
Today we're going to be talking about Anne Hathaway.
No. Amy Lynn Bradley.
Amy Lynn Spears.
Amy Lynn Bradley. She sadly disappeared on a cruise ship when she went on a family trip with her parents.
How old was she?
I will get to that. But I wanted to start with, of course, my favorite part of any case, and that is facts.
Let's get the facts straight.
Did you know that 29.7 million people worldwide set sail on a cruise ship on 2019 before COVID?
No, I did not know that. That's a lot of people.
That's a shit ton of people. But obviously 2020, like, I couldn't pull out a newer year for a reference because 2020, obviously, nobody went on a cruise ship. It was 2019. But in 2019, there were 46 crimes reported to the FBI from 6 different cruise ship companies of 12 major ones. That the FBI monitors. Of these 46, 35 of these crimes included sexual assault, that involve passengers, crew members, and others, in quotation marks, assumed to be like maybe people from the islands that were being visited on or whatever, you know? Two of these were disappearances, which Carnival, we all know it's a huge cruise line, claimed that it was an intentional man overboard. So these people that were disappearing from their ships were people that were going overboard. Five other cases from this included thefts of $10,000 or more. So people within the cruise ship were committing like grand like theftery. Since the year 2000, around 300 people have gone missing and claim to have gone overboard, if this is what actually happened in these cases. It's also important to check where your cruise ship is registered at. It varies where the cruise ship line registers their boats at, because depending where they're at, the laws vary. And a lot of cruise ships like to register their lines in Panama because of their labor laws. They have very loose laws all around. And Royal Caribbean, which is the cruise ship that we're going to be talking about in this case, they registered a cruise ship in the Bahamas, and they do that intentionally there so they can have loose labor regulations. Which, can you imagine, like, you own a cruise line and you could just register it to any country that you want based on the laws that you want to follow.
Is this so that they can hire staffing for a low wage?
Interesting that you say that, because when you register your cruise ship under the Bahamas itself, it's mainly so that you can work around like regulations against stringent labor regulation laws. We're going to begin our story in March 21st, 1998. The Bradley family, which includes Rob and Iva Bradley, which is the mom and the dad, and their sons Brad and their daughter Amy Lynn Bradley. They went on a family cruise to celebrate Ron's work's bonus. He was working as an insurance executive. They boarded the Royal Caribbean, the Rhapsody of the Seas, departing from San Juan to the Arubas. And soon this ended up being everyone's trip from hell. Something you don't even think about when you're going to go on a fun family cruise. Everything was going well, and the family recounted that they had a perfectly normal cruise ship night. On the night of March 22nd, Amy and her mom go to collect some of the pictures that the ship's photographers had taken of them. You know, the ones that there's some random people around the ship and they're taking pictures of you, just as if you go to New York, they take a picture of you at the Empire State Building and, you know, you buy the picture afterwards if you like it. Well, they go and they notice that Amy's pictures had not been ready. Somehow they have all gone missing, and Amy's moms had requested them to be reprinted, and they weren't. Amy's mom still has the receipt for these pictures to be reprinted. Her mom also recalls seeing a group of people on board who were not passengers, and in the several websites that I read this from, they don't know how Amy's mom knew these people weren't supposed to be passengers. But these people were talking to some people of the band that were playing on board, which we'll see soon here. Now, on that same night of March 22nd, Amy, who was 23, you were asking earlier how old she was, and her brother went on a nightclub inside of the ship. And they were dancing, having a great time, to a band called the Blue Orchid. The same band Amy's mom recalled seeing the group of people talking to earlier, but unfortunately the authorities were unable to identify. In some of the photographs and videos of this, they show Amy talking to some people of the band, in specific, the bass player of the band Blue Orchid. His name was Yellow, aka Alistair Douglas. I'll post pictures of this on Instagram at Monsters True Crime. Well, you see that Yellow was looking at her like super gross, like a piece of meat, and we all know what that look means, and you'll know it immediately after you see this picture. But shortly after, he said that he left Amy around 1 a.m. Later, both Amy and Brad stayed at the club, and they left the club around 3:40 a.m. and they were hanging around and talking until around 3:40 a.m. and then Brad went to bed. Brad, not knowing that this was going to be the last time that he was going to see his sister, he said to Amy, "I love you." And later on, Brad says that this brings him great comfort that this was the last words that he ever said to his sister.
That's nice.
Amy slept on the balcony on their cabin, on the family's cabin that night, because she wasn't feeling well, whether or not it was because she was a little bit hungover or she just wasn't feeling good. A few hours later, on March 23rd, her dad, Ron, is up, and I bet he's excited to get the cruise ship experience going for his family, and he was up around 5:15 to 5:30 a.m. that morning. He said that he went onto the porch and that he saw Amy sleeping on the porch, and all seemed to be well. And then he looked again and she was gone. He heard a loud noise and then he went back to the balcony and he didn't see anything there. So then he went back to Amy's room, assuming that she had gone back to sleep, but she wasn't there. All her belongings were there except for a pack of cigarettes and her lighter. And she also didn't leave her sandals behind, which indicated that she did leave, but she didn't go anywhere far. That morning, the gangplank was lowered. Both passengers and staff were allowed off the ship to a wonderful day exploring the Curacao Island, which is a small island off the South Caribbean, 40 miles of the Venezuelan coast.
Is it Curacao? I always called it Curacao.
Curacao.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I thought Curacao was like the chocolate.
Cure a cow. What's wrong with the cows?
But that morning, the gangplank was lowered and everyone was let off, right? And some people assumed that Amy decided to sneak off and she ran away. And this was brought into question. This was one of the many theories of what may have happened to Amy. The family refused to believe that she would have run away. She had just started a new job. She had a new apartment in Virginia. She would have never, ever, ever left her pet bulldog, Daisy, behind. And I believe that because if I was missing and I left Maggie behind, I didn't go willingly.
Definitely not.
Absolutely not. Have I left Maggie behind or my cat?
Yeah, no.
No, something happened to me.
True animal lover. And if you had a new job, a new apartment, and an animal, you're probably not running away. She's 23. Why are you going to run away? You have your own place.
Exactly.
So that's already like, no.
What's disturbing about this case is that the fact that they landed at Curacao, it might have given the ability, if anybody decided to kidnap Amy off of the ship, the ability to sneak her off the ship with all the passengers getting off the ship without getting noticed.
Now, this sounds more reasonable as to what could have Absolutely. Happened already.
So right now, the Bradley family is desperately searching for Amy, of course. And the cruise ship staff is absolutely 100% unhelpful. They refused to page Amy until the ship was at port, because they didn't want to announce the disappearance or they didn't want to hang any of her photos around the vessel in the fear that it might scare any of the passengers. The crew eventually did search the ship, but they only searched common areas and they did not search any of the staff or passenger areas.
So it was a pointless search.
It was pointless. They stayed at the island of Curacao, searching for while the ship went on to St. Martin, the Virgin Islands, and then back to Puerto Rico.
So it's doing its loop around.
The ship is doing its loop around, but the family stayed behind.
To look for her.
They stayed behind at Curacao to look for her.
The whole family?
Yeah, her mom, her brother, and the dad.
Ooh, what if she was still on the... I'd probably split my family up, be like...
Right, just in case she comes up in the ship.
She was still on the ship. Anyway, continue, sorry.
The next day, the FBI contacted Ron, which is the dad, saying that they started searching the ship. They were searching all the common areas, and then the dad and the family all went back to the ship. They flew from Curacao to St. Martin, and then they reboarded the ship. But of course, the FBI did not find anything in their investigation.
What?
They didn't find anything. Now, one of the theories that the authorities were offering was, and one of the Royal Caribbean one backs, is that either Amy fell off the ship from the porch, the balcony, porch, whatever, or that she committed suicide. But soon thereafter, the family was like, she did not commit suicide. So she was either, she fell off the porch from when she was sleeping on the porch from the night before from the nightclub. But as we were saying, she was a strong swimmer. She was a lifeguard. So they were like, even if she did fall off the, like, the porch, she would have been able to swim. And they weren't that far off the coast.
I mean, it's very unlikely that she fell off just sleeping on the porch. I'm sure there's like a wall.
She was sleeping off the porch, so
it's not just a railing. Right? I'm sure they don't want people slipping out.
And 5 days into that, the Royal Caribbean, they charted off a boat and they were looking for her for 5 days.
They're searching the waters for her.
And they did not find anything.
Surprise, surprise.
So the family was like, okay, like, what the hell happened to Amy, right? So they were recounting things that happened on the cruise ship when they boarded. And they were recounting some pretty weird shit. So the Bradley family, they were turning their investigation towards the cruise ship staff, and they believed that certain people on board had given Amy some special attention and some creepy vibes. And right now, I think under the circumstances, they're covering any base and they're trying to figure out what happened to Amy. They noticed immediately that there was tremendous amount of attention towards Amy from the crew members. That's what her mom said. At one point, her dad, Ron, remembered one of the waiters asking Amy's name, and they were asking her to join them to a dinner at the Carlos and Charlie's restaurant during the ship's dock in Aruba, which he then remembers asking Amy about, and she said that she said, I wouldn't go and do anything with those crew members. They give me the creeps, which is fucking creepy. She would say that. And this whole thing is creepy because at the same, this same, not the same period of time, but this happened in 1998. In 2005, Natalie Holloway, an 18-year-old American woman, she also disappeared in Aruba from the same restaurant. And this is said to be one of the areas in the Caribbean where women go missing and they end up in sex trafficking, okay?
There's definitely a lot of stories from that time, like girls missing in Aruba.
For sure.
I remember hearing that, like, when I was younger.
Yeah. And so the Bradley family later heard from a witness who had seen Amy early that morning when she disappeared, that she saw Amy at the elevator with Alistair Douglas, aka Yellow, from the band Blue Orchid. They were at the elevator around 6 a.m. But then Yellow denied that this ever happened.
First off, his name is Yellow.
I know. And the FBI, they had interviews with the crew members, including Yellow. And the FBI released him because he passed his polygraph. And they really didn't have any evidence to charge him against the disappearance about Amy. So Amy, after going to bed at around 1 a.m., she probably got up. She was at the balcony relaxing because she wasn't feeling well. At around 5:15 to 5:30 a.m. when her dad saw her, she was laying in her porch. I don't know if she decided to get up and she just grabbed her smokes and her lighter and she went to go see Yellow at the elevator.
Also, real quick, I'm sure if at 5:15 in the morning her father saw her sleeping on the porch and she was about to roll off like the cruise ship said was possible, I'm sure he'd run over and be like, "Hey, go to bed, you're gonna roll off into the ocean."
Right?
Like, it's obviously that's not possible.
Because you imagine a balcony with like some like chairs where you can lay on and sleep.
Yeah.
Like, how would she just get up and like jump off?
You'd have to pile stuff up and jump over.
It's incredible. But after that, it is believed that she went to go see Yellow at the elevator. Like witnesses recounted, she was smuggled out in some way, some form. This seems very plausible. Now, I want us to go back and imagine. She is from Virginia. Now, you're her family and you have to now leave the island. Your trip is over. You have to go back to her apartment. You have to pick up Daisy, her dog. You have to take care of her because her mommy is gone. Like, I can't even imagine because I've lost a pet before. And unfortunately, it's the worst one of the... It is one of the worst feelings that you could ever experience in your life. And I can't imagine being Amy's parents, having to leave that island knowing that your daughter is gone, going back home. So months later, Amy's family would write congressmen and foreign officials and the White House even. And they were lacking any helpful responses. They hired private detectives. They built a website and started a 24-hour hotline. But nothing ever came up of it. Her family now hasn't seen her in almost 23 years.
That's heartbreaking.
This March 23rd has been the 23rd year she's been missing.
That sucks.
Her mom said, "My gut feeling to this day was that somebody saw her, somebody wanted her, and somebody took her." Over the years, the Bradley family had to deal with even more tragedy and false hope that they could ever see her again. But I suppose some hope is better than none at all. And they were hoping that she was still alive. But now we're going to be talking about theory two of what could have happened to Amy. Theory two is much more sinister than just committing suicide and jumping off ship or just accidentally jumping off of the ship. Theory 2 suggests that she was kidnapped and put into sex trafficking. On August of 1998, 5 months after she went missing, two Canadian tourists spotted a woman who matched Amy's description on a beach in the Bahamas. The woman had the same tattoos as Amy. She had a Tasmanian devil with a basketball on her shoulder, a sun on her lower back, and a Chinese symbol on her right ankle, and even a lizard on her navel. If you ask me, those were some pretty badass tattoos.
Yeah, the Tasmanian devil with the basketball.
I know.
Space Jam vibes.
So these sightings were reported over several years on the Bahamas beaches. One of the tourists by the name of David Carmichael said that he was 100% sure that this was Amy. And I don't understand why they didn't report this right away or why they weren't able to catch up to these reports right away knowing that she was missing. But the next piece of evidence is actually very sad and very devastating to anyone, especially her parents and her brother. But it's pretty much everyone's worst fear. Are you ready? Ryan nodded, so I'm going on. In 1999, a member of the Navy, They visited a brothel in Curacao, which is the island that she went missing on. And he met a woman who told him that her name was Amy Lynn Bradley. She begged him for help. But this asshole, he didn't want to get in trouble because he was in the fucking Navy. And he was being a pig because he was in a brothel in the Bahamas. So he saw her face in the magazine of People magazine. And that's when he decided to report that he actually saw her at a brothel. So at this point, we know that Amy is alive in 1999. 2 years after she went missing. That same year, the family received another promising clue, which turned out to be a fucking scam. An asshole named LeFrank Jones claimed to be a former U.S. Army Special Forces officer who could rescue Amy from armed Colombians holding her in Curacao. Which, who knows if this piece was actually true or not. But he scammed the Bradleys to give him $200,000, and then they realized that it was a fraud.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Her father, Ron, later said, "If there's a chance, I mean, what else would you do? If it was your child, what would you do?"
You can't blame the parents.
So I guess we took a chance, and I guess we lost.
Oh, man. Ron's his name?
Ron.
Ron.
I know. Oh,
Ron. I'm sorry.
I know. Fuck. And then another fucking horrifying thing happens to this family. It makes me very emotional.
What now? This family just was dealt a short stick on life. All of them.
Just because someone got a bonus. So in 2005 in Barbados, an American tourist was using a department store restroom. She saw a woman enter the restroom aggressively with three other men. And these three men were threatening the girl. They were telling her, "Do not mess this. This is a big deal that was arranged." And they walked out. And then the girl, who is reportedly to be Amy, was like hunched over the sink and she was crying. And then the American tourist came out, and then Amy was like identifying herself. I'm like, "I'm Amy, I'm from Virginia." And then the men came back into the restroom, and the American tourist was scared and she ran out, and she reported the incident immediately, and she was able to give a sketch of the woman in the restroom, and that was that.
That was 7 years after the original cruise.
Mm-hmm.
05. So she's still alive in 05.
In 05, and then again in 05. Bradley's family received a horrible fucking email. This email was containing some photographs of a woman who appeared to be Amy. She was lying on a bed in her underwear. And these photographs were on an escort resort website from Margarita Island off of Venezuela. A member of an organization that locates sex trafficking victims sent this to Amy's parents, and these photographs could also be seen on her Instagram. The woman in the photograph is identified as Jazz, J-A-S, a sex worker in the Caribbean, which is sadly where Amy went missing, which it all fits, if you ask me. She went missing there. It looks like her if you look at her before missing photo and her missing in like these photographs. This girl looks like she's gone through a lot. And I really think it is her. There's a smile line on her left side of her face that looks like Amy's smile line. She has a very like indented smile line on her left side of her face. And also she has a lot of like piercings on her left side of her ear. And this woman also has a lot of piercings on her left side of the ear. And her dad hired an FBI profiler by the name of Clint Van Sant. And this profiler also agrees that this might be Amy in the photo, because there's a lot of things that matched Amy. Like her, the size of her arm and like the size of the smile on her left side of her face and the ear and everything. But unfortunately, this upsetting clue did not generate any leads. Today, the investigation into Amy's disappearance is still ongoing. The FBI is still offering $25,000 into any helpful tips into Amy's whereabouts. And right now, Amy would be 42 years old from this date when she went missing when she was 23 on the cruise ship.
That's terrible.
Can you just imagine? I can't. Like,
it brings a whole meaning to going on a cruise ship, doesn't it?
You go 2 days later, your fucking sister, your cousin, your what aunt, whatever is missing. And she's more than likely sold off to sex trafficking. And there's nothing you can do to track it.
And then you spend 200 grand to get...
And it's sad because her family went back to Curacao multiple times looking for her. And in one of the accounts, there was a taxi driver that said that he saw Amy and that Amy asked for his phone number. And then when he came back with his phone. And when he came back with a phone, she was gone. It's just fucking sad. But sadly now, in 2003, her parents sued Royal Caribbean for negligence and wrongful death, but they lost due to the fact that they did not disclose several alleged witness reports from Curacao. They were saying that Amy's parents attempted to defraud the court. And sadly now, Amy's case is still a sad mystery, which unfortunately we can all conclude that she did not fall overboard. She was definitely 100% taken off the ship against her will. It was an inside job from the cruise ship. Someone saw her and said, this girl is like a perfect target. They somehow managed her off the board through a luggage or a bag or whatever. And they took her off the island when they were boarding off Curacao, which is perfect opportunity because the ship, they're not going to stop for anything. They don't want to scare anybody. So they stopped, they boarded on Curacao, they took her off, and boom, you have a new American, like, white girl off in the sex trafficking business, which is, from what I've read, men will pay more for an American girl. And I can't, we've been imagining what her dad and her brother have been going through, but we haven't talked about what Amy through, like, what she was going through at that time. Like, she got kidnapped from her family cruise ship. We don't know what events went through. She got kidnapped. She didn't know. A lot of these girls that get trafficked into sex crimes, they get hooked onto drugs and get raped repeatedly and just get, they get used to the sex traffic life.
Just when we thought rape was gonna take a break here,
I know,
it rears its ugly head.
This case is fucking horrible because you really don't know what can happen. Any of this shit can happen anywhere you go, especially on a cruise ship now.
Yeah.
You know. So just keep everyone held extra tight when you go on a cruise ship.
Keep your daughter in your room. Even if she's 23, watch your babies.
Don't let them go off into the room. Like, one of the theories was that perhaps no one took her off of the cruise ship to get sex trafficked, but someone saw her. Maybe she left her room with her smokes and her lighter, and they got her, they raped her, and they killed her, and then they smuggled her off in a bag somewhere and dumped her off in the island. That was one of the theories. But really, like, we don't know what happened to her. What do you think happened to her? Do you think she fell off? Do you think she committed suicide?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think she was trafficked off the island?
It's leading that way. I don't think she was killed immediately or she fell off.
I honestly don't think she was killed. Like, I don't think she left her room and someone saw her and, like, killed her. I think someone saw her at the night before. She was getting attention from the crew members and maybe she just got picked off and, like, got trafficked out of the ship. She got sold off into sex trafficking.
That's the most likely.
Which is sad because now you think about, she's 42 years old. Like, what happened to her? Like, what happens when they get too old? Do they get killed off?
Oh, God. That's a whole other podcast.
That's sad to think about.
The podcast.
If you guys ever seen the movie Taken, that movie's fucking horrible. Have you seen Taken? Yeah, like, the first part?
Liam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson. Yeah. Oh, that movie's fucking sad.
He's kind of corny.
It's corny, but the way that the women get trafficked, I think
that's what happens. Yeah, I mean, just
they hook them on onto drugs and they don't know anything but that, and that's how they keep them docile. Mm-hmm. And I hope wherever Amy is, and if anybody has any tips, that they report them to the FBI. But that's really sad.
That is sad.
I know.
With a bad taste in your mouth.
Other than that, that's the case I had to talk about today. Because it's March and it's Amy Lynn Bradley's almost 42-year anniversary of her birthday.
Well, if she died, I hope it was painless.
That's sad, but and, I hope so too.
Maybe if she hasn't died, there's still hope for her yet. Although, at 42 years of sex trafficking, there's probably not much left of a human in there.
May Jamie Lynn rest in peace.
Amy.
We're thinking about you still to this day.
You said Jamie.
Oh, Amy. Two glasses of wine. But anyways, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Monsters.
I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time. Goodbye. Bye.